Torah, we read about Yeshua. Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael, and he destroyed Yericho. He burnt it down, and he made a klala. Whoever is going to rebuild Yericho, when he starts rebuilding Yericho, he's going to bury his first son. When he continues, he will continue to bury his children. And when he finishes to rebuild Yericho, he will bury his last child. Generations passed, and Chil, who was Ovid the Baal, who was an Ovid of the Zarah, he came in and he built Yericho. He rebuilt Yericho. When he began building Yericho, he lost his first son. He continued, and he continued to bury his children. And when he finished, he buried his last son. He's now sitting Shiva, and two people come to be Menachem him. Elio Anavi and Achav. Achav was the Melech Yisrael, he was a Rasha. And him with Izebel, they killed out many Nevi'im, the true Nevi'im. And there was left Nevi'i Sheker, 450 Nevi'i Sheker, Nevi'i Abal, another 450 Nevi'i Asherah. All that was left was Elio and Avi, and maybe there were some other Nevi'im hiding out. And Elionovi is now together here with the king Achav sitting by Chil. And Elionovi told Chil, you know why this happened to you? Because you were over on the klala of Yeshua. Which Achav right away responded, Chutzpah, what are you saying? It says in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu said, that if someone's over the Avodah Zarah, then there won't be any mutter, there won't be any Geshem in Eretz Yisrael. We say it in Kriyat Shema. And look, we're flourishing. Everything is fine. And that was the klala from Moshe Rabbeinu. So you're telling me that Yeshua's klala is what killed Chil's children? Elio put Achav in his place. And he told him, you will see from now, you will no longer have any rain here in Eretz Yisrael. For the next 3 years, Eretz Yisrael dried and dried up and dried up. More and more, and the entire Eretz Yisrael was just it was vanishing, it was disappearing. They didn't have any other source of water. Rain was the only source, and for 3 years, not one drop of rain came. As soon as it started happening, this process, Achav started trying to find Elio. He wanted to kill Elio. Elio went into hiding. After 3 years, Hashem comes to Elio, and he tells Elio, go to Achav, maybe he'll do tshuva. And we could bring rain to Eretz Yisrael. Elionovi comes to Achav and he tells him, you ready to do tshuva? Achav says with chutzpah, he says, you destroyed Eretz Yisrael! You destroyed Eretz Yisrael! Elio, without blinking an eye, he says, you destroyed Eretz Yisrael. You destroyed. Something that we all have to build ourselves a little bit with, having a little bit of stoltz. Stoltz is a backbone. Not to be wimpy when it comes to our Avodas Hashem. To have stoltz, be proud of who you are. A lot of times, just take a quick commercial break on that point. A lot of times we meet a relative. We're like, oh, so how long are you planning on staying in yeshiva before you're going to start life? No, what do you mean? I do college in yeshiva. What are you so wimpy about? I'm not saying anything about college. College is fine. College is fine. In yeshiva. And even if when you leave yeshiva, if the rebbe tells you to go to college, I don't care if it's Harvard. If your rebbe tells you to do it, then do it. But right now you're in yeshiva. Be proud that you're in yeshiva. There's nothing more chashuv than being in yeshiva. You're holding up the entire universe. You could be in Harvard. You're doing nothing. Cool. Nothing. Nothing. Be proud of who you are. Someone invites you to a hotel. You go. You're sitting down. You found that the hash is not good. Don't be embarrassed. Say I'm not eating food. I'm not eating. This is not my hefsher, I'm not eating. Have a little bit of gaiva in your Yiddishkeit. Anyway, so Elionovi tells Achav, he says, I didn't destroy you, you destroyed Eretz Yisrael. You destroyed Eretz Yisrael with your Avodah Zarah, with your Baal, and with your blasphemy, saying that, speaking about Krishma, about Moshe Rabbeinu's klala, that it won't be chal. You see it's chal. You see the Torah's emes. Achav is sticking to his guns. The Baal is MS. Elionovi says, you know what? Let's have a showdown. Bring two parim, two bulls. And they're going, they should become from the same mother, and they should grow and eat from the same grass, same pasture. They should be brought. We're going to put one of them, a goyer LaHashem, one of them, a goyer LaBaal, to the Avodah Zarah, called the Baal. You're a rabbi, and you're 450, plus another 450, the Baal, the Asherah. I'm only by myself. You go first. The girdle comes out on the par that's for the Baal, and this one's for Elyonavi, for Hashem. Immediately, the one for Elyonavi walks on its own without anything, just walks straight to Elyonavi. As I state in Medrash, the other one doesn't budge. Doesn't budge. So, like, they're getting a little nervous. The Baal people are getting a little nervous. They go over and they're like, wants to come on with me now. And they're like, and they're pulling, and you get 450 guys, they're all pushing it. This guy's pulling from here, he's pushing. It's not budging. You're not going to move me. That's Stoltz. The Elyonavi says, Par, go with them. Watch what happens. The Medrash says, the Par opens its mouth and says, Elyonavi, my twin went to you to be Mekadoshim Shemayim. I should go with them? Elyonavi's like, ah, what nachas. He says, Par, Par, Lashon Chavivus, Par, Par, Bull, Bull, go with them, go. You will also be a Kiddush Hashem. From Hashem not taking you, it's going to be a Kiddush Hashem. So, what do you think happened? The Par turns to Elyonavi and says, that's what you give me? That's your advice to me? I swear I'm not moving from here until you yourself pick me up and give me to them. So Elyonavi says, okay. And Elyonavi picks up the bull and hands over to the Baal. Here. The Baal goes, they build their Mizbeach, and they had all planned out to go into it right now. V'chulu, obviously, everyone knows this is the famous story of Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. The Baal's carbon was not taken, and they tried to play shtick. Hashem took care of Yechiel's name was underneath the Mizbeach. He was taken care of. Nothing happened. Eliyahu had his wood saturated with water. Pour more water, more water, more water. It was saturated. Al Piteva, according to nature, there's no way in the world you're going to burn this Mizbeach now. And Eliyahu davened to Hashem, show everybody the MS, show who's the Bairi Olam, show who's the Nevi MS, show who's the Nevi Sheker. And the fire came down and ate the entire carbon instantly. What's the nes? Well, obviously the nes is that the Par opened up its mouth. Right? The Chamor of Bilam did that. There was needed a special Bria, Erev Shabbos by Bria Sa'olam. Opening up your mouth of an animal to be able to speak in your language is an open nes. But there's something else going on over here. How'd the animal know what's right? The animal, this animal, Eliyahu, is that Hashem knew that Eliyahu was right. And it went on its own, just marched its way over to Eliyahu to be shechted and brought as a carbon to Hashem. The other one says, I'm not moving. And he even uttered the words, no pun intended. He even said that I am not going to be sacrificed for Avodah Zarah. I'm not going to do it. How do you know the MS? How do you know what's right? I don't know what's Kiddush Hashem, what's Chilul Hashem. He's an animal. We'll go a few years later. Elisha was a Talmud of Eliyahu HaNavi. Elisha was passing by a place called Shunam. And he was a frequent visitor to the Isha Shunamis and her husband. And they would take care of him. They fed him. They eventually built him a room. The Isha Shunamis, the Gemara in Brachos, I think it's Daf Yud, says that the Isha Shunamis said to her husband, this person, this Elisha, is an Ish Chashuv. The Gemara asks, how did she know? How did she know? How did the Isha Shunamis know that Elisha is an Ish Chashuv? So the Gemara answers, because the flies don't go on him. They don't go on his shulchan. They don't go on his table. The flies are like all over the place, and they don't go on him. So let me ask you a question. It's Reb Chaim Shmulevitz to ask this question. It's a beautiful question. The Gemara was wondering, how did she know that he's an Ish Chashuv? The answer is because the flies didn't go on him. How'd the flies know? How'd the flies know not to go on him? If the Gemara is wondering, how did she know that she that he's an Ish Chashuv? So then how'd the flies know that he's an Ish Chashuv? How'd the flies know they can't go on him? Animals have a natural sense. They have a sixth sense. They're able to feel what's right, what's wrong, what's Kedushim, what's Chil Hashem, what's Kadosh, what's Tomei. Who's a tzaddik and who's a rasha? And a human being doesn't have this. We don't have this. We don't have it naturally. What's pshat? The human being is the Adam and Nivchar. The whole world was created for us. And even a daimim has this. Yaakov Avinu is chalom, the avonim, he put stones around his head. A lion, nech, tzaddik, is rasha. Each stone is saying, the tzaddik should be... How do stones know that he's a tzaddik? How do stones know that they should want to serve the tzaddik? Even a daimim has a natural chush, a sense, to know what's right, what's wrong, who's a tzaddik, who's not. But an adam doesn't have this. And we need to understand what's pshat. Why does an adam not have this? I want to tell you a true story. I read this, it's going back probably many years. There was a professor in a big hospital here in Eretz Yisrael, Ichilov. The professor's name, I don't think there's any Lashon Hara, his name was Yakubovich. He was a head surgeon. He was the head surgeon, and he's in the middle of an operation. There's a body, a lady, his open upper body's opened up, and he's in the middle of a surgery. In those days, I don't think they had WhatsApp, but he got some type of email, and he sees his email, and he's being offered right now, an opportunity to a private patient, which is a lot more money. He looks back at the patient. There's no hope. So we're up. And walks away. The other doctors were lower than him. They weren't looking at each other like, what's the problem? We could do this. What's the problem? And he left. They continued. I'm sure the story happened and was happy at the end that she was okay. But then there was an investigation opened up. He was put in jail. Okay. Hashem Yirachim. You have a human being. He has someone's life in his hands and some money was waved in front of his eyes and he just left her. Sew her up. There's no hope. My brother, not so long ago, was on a plane. And he was flying. And he likes vegetables and he was eating some carrots. And the guy sitting next to him says, can I get a carrot? So my brother says, sure. I'm not going to be next to this guy for a long time. And he gives him a carrot. He's like, I'll be honest with you, I don't really like carrots. So then why'd you ask for my carrot? I do like carrots. Here's Baruch. And I do like carrots. He's like, I just wanted to make some small talk. Shalom Aleichem, my name is... And they started schmoozing. Okay, so you could have just said Shalom Aleichem without asking for my carrot. But you keep it now. Anyway, this guy's a recent Baal Tshuva. And he says, you know, it was a couple years ago he started becoming frum. He put a yarmulke on his head. An Israeli guy. He's living in Tel Aviv. His wife walks into the room. What is that? Get that thing off your head! He's like, okay. And he takes his... He doesn't know how to have shtoltz yet. So he takes his baseball cap, he puts it on his head. Shtoltz. Baseball cap, I'm wearing a yarmulke. So, he's wearing his baseball cap. And he went on a whole year like that. The following year, he's going to try my luck again. Puts his yarmulke on. No comment. Day goes by, 2 days go, 2 weeks go by. She says, have you noticed that I haven't said anything about your thing? It's a kippah. Yeah, your kippah. Yeah, I noticed. She says, well, I want something. And she had a couple wrinkles she wanted to take care of. Cost 20,000 shekels. I'll let you wear that if you let me take care of these wrinkles. You got a deal. I paid $20,000 for this, and I love it! That's what he told my brother. I paid $20,000 for this yarmulke. Shekels, I think. Makes a difference. Say that, but the point is still made. I don't know, ask whatever. I don't know what operations cost like that, but I think it was 20,000 shekels. We had two people in front of us. We had a person who had life in his hands, and because of some money, gave it up. We have a person who, he has a kippah, he wants it, something to many of us might seem a little bit trivial, not such a big deal, right? It's a stamazai, a minig that should be done away with. I think that it shouldn't make late sanas about our religion. But say that, no. There's other things to work on. Anyway, you have this guy, and he's willing to put out 20,000 shekels for something that's important to him. Now, here lies a very important point, and that is that we have in our hands, always, every single one of us, we have priorities, we have ideals, we have the opportunity to keep them, and we have the choice to let go of them. And our responsibility, our job, is to keep on to our ideals, to our priorities, to stay strong with what we believe in, and not to just give things up on a whim. There was a famous debate between Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, and perhaps a priest, I'm not sure exactly, I think it was a priest, of if you could train cats to act like humans. Famous debate, you may have heard of it. And Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz held that you cannot. They held that you can. So they were mashkia. They invested a lot of money and time into training these cats. And sure enough, the banquet dinner, they're going to have a banquet dinner, and the cats are going to serve the dinner. So the cats come in with white gloves, and they're holding the trays, and la, 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 and everything's going beautiful. And they're pouring wine, and it's everything's like, wow, it's not cool. It looks like Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz is going to have to give in this time. Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz came with a little trick up his sleeve. He had a few mice. He opens up the container, lets the mice go. Woo, havoc just broke out. All of a sudden, the wine is spilling, the cats are jumping, and everyone's getting scratched up, and it's just craziness. The cats are running after the mice. Craziness. Now, there's a famous story, a famous debate, and I always like wondered, what's the big deal? Like, you're debating about if a cat could be a human, could act like a human? I don't really care so much about animals. I like animals, they're cute. My kids just got some gerbils recently. I even grew up with the. I grew up with a dog. Whatever. I have nothing against animals, but I'm not like where I'm holding now in life. I don't like so much to talk about animals. Not a big deal about me what animals do. I always wanted to reverse the Claire. Not if you could make a cat act like an animal. I wanted to know if you can make a cat act like a human. I wonder if you can make a human act like a cat. And we see that you can. A human could be an animal. A human could push it that if the right temptation comes along, you could just drop your tray and run after that mouse. The right amount of money, or you could be lying in bed. It's cozy, got a nice pillow, down blanket. It's almost time for chakras. Wait, chakras is something important to you. Yeah, I know, but I'm cozy. I don't want to get up. Okay, you're now faced with cat and mouse. Now you have here, you're holding a tray, you're a human being, you're supposed to be by shachris, something important, it's an ideal, you agree that it's something that's important, it's a priority, and you're willing to trade it in for a little bit of comfort. You're by Seder. You're feeling a little tired, learning's difficult sometimes until you get into it. It starts off difficult, you have to work hard. But so a lot of times a person, falls short. He gives in. He says, okay, I'm going to the hall. I'm going to go. And first it starts off with a coffee. It becomes like, yeah, someone starts schmoozing with me. Next thing you know, it's like, it's time to go home. And a person has to always chop these situations where you're being faced with a choice, with bechira. You're being faced with a choice and you're in charge of making the right choice. There's a famous chazal. Adam Nicker, it's coming up soon. Adam Nicker. Bekisoi. Bekasoi. Ubekoisoi. A person is recognized, is revealed in his kis, in his money, in his greed, in his kas, in his anger, in his kois, in his cup of wine. When a person is under the influence of greed or anger or alcohol, the Adam is recognized. We see who you really are. This chazal always bothered me. It leaves a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. Feels like I'm faking. I'm just concealing who I really am. And this is a big mistake. And that's why I really want to speak about this Nekuda. Because I have a different explanation, a different understanding in the Chazal. It's not pshat that you're revealed. To the contrary. The Adam is revealed. You're not the Adam. And I'm going to go on to explain. But you're not the Adam. You are where your choices are. Where you go against your human desires, your human tendencies. Where you challenge them. Where you counter them. Your Bechira. That's who you are. Everyone has in them an Adam. Let me explain a little bit further. There's another Chazal. We are all under the impression, B'derek Klal, people are under the impression, I don't know, but we all, but that the Torah was given to us to keep us in check, to keep us in line, to direct us where to go. Because I'm a human being, so and I could steal, I could kill, I could do all different types of things. So the Torah tells me, don't do this, don't do that. It's a big mistake. The Medrash says, Istakel b'araisu b'ra alma. Hashem looked into the Torah, says Revelo Lepianis Mazba, the Medrash like this. He looked into the Torah and he created the world. The Torah says, Leisignoiv. Hashem said, if the Torah says, Leisignoiv, I need to create an Adam that is able and wants to steal. It's not pshat that you want to steal, so therefore Hashem gave you a Torah to keep you in line. Hashem made you want to steal because the Torah says don't steal. In order to be Mekayim, in order to fulfill the Torah, you have to be someone who wants to steal and is able to steal. You have to be someone who is able to kill and wants to go. Hashem could have created the world without being able to kill. We could have created the world. Hashem could have created the world in a way that you can't kill. Hashem created the world because the Torah says, Leisirtzach, he had to create the world in a way that you're able to do Ritzicha. And a person could even want to do Ritzicha. So this Adam that Hashem created is the Adam that's very, he wants to do bad. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to do all different types of things. All different types of chataim he wants to do. And then the Torah has the thing that it's supposed to be mashpi on the Adam is to guide the person, now that you want to do this, to guide you how you're meant to continue through life and not doing these averas. That's the Adam that's nikker. Not that you're nikker, b'kisa kasi v'koisoi. When temptation comes and you fall for it, what's happening is that Adam, that we all have that same Adam. It's not my Adam is being revealed. We all have the same Adam in us. That Adam is being revealed when you fall to your temptation and you stop and you lose control, you lose the Bechira that you have. You give up the Bechira. That Adam is being revealed. And that is a whole new perspective on what we are as people, as Oyvdei Hashem. Stamazai, a person realizes like, wow, I only have Taivas because Hashem created in me Taivas that I should be able to keep the Torah. It's a whole new outlook. Wait, so then I don't want to follow those taivas. I was only given those taivas so I should be able to keep the Torah, not do the taivas. But that's the Adam inside of us. We all have that same Adam. And who we are is our koyach habechira that we could go against, that we don't have to give into that Adam. Right, there's an English expression, I'm only human. When a person makes a mistake, he says, I'm only human. He's so right. Because it's the human, it's the Adam that makes the mistakes. Where this person making a mistake when he excuses himself that I'm only human is that I know you're human, but I expect from you to curtail. I expect from you to control the Adam that's in you through your Koyach HaBechira that I gave to you. That's what's expected from the person. Okay, let's maybe just close up with going back to, we have the par of Elio and the par of the Baal. We have the Zvuvim, the flies of Elisha. We have the Avon and the rocks of Yaakov Avinu. And there are many other Chazalim, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz brings in Sichas Nun Ches. that that bring out this point that there's that the brios of doimim and sameach and chai, they have an intuition that we don't have. They have a chush. They're able to sense things that we don't sense. Naturally, they sense it without working. Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz says because of this yisoy that we've been speaking about. An animal is much lower than the human being, than us. They don't have bechira. They don't have the opportunity. They don't have the ability to tap into any madrega at all on their own. They're not given that chance. They're not given that ability. They're not given that strength. Whereas the Bnei Adam are given the ability, they're given the power of Bechira, that we could go and achieve that on our own. And that's the whole purpose of creation. Hashem wants us on our own to achieve these madregas. Not that this should just come to us. An animal that doesn't have Bechira, so Hashem gives him certain levels of just sensing this, the Ruchnia, sensing right and wrong. Whereas the human doesn't have that naturally. He doesn't have it naturally because he's not supposed to have it naturally. He's a Baal Bechira. He has a bigger power. He has the power of Bechira to learn what's right and what's wrong. And to make it that he received it. He reached that on his own. Not that it was just given to him. The Gemara Nida, and that's where we'll finish off, that the Gemara Nida, Mamash points this out beautifully. The Gemara Nida, Lamed Amud Beis, says that a baby, while it's in its mother's stomach, is taught Kol HaTorah Kula. The baby's born, it's mashma over there, even when the baby's born, right away when the baby's born, it says that it has a psaner on its rosh, and it's able to see and understand from sci-fi lamat sci-fi all the secrets of the world. Everything in Torah, Shibiksav, Shibal Peh, Nigla, Nister, the most Kabbalistic things, the baby has clear. All of a sudden the Malach comes and taps him, and he forgets it all. Why? Because Hashem wants that you should go and work and do it yourself. That's what our job is. Hashem wants that you, with your bechira, should choose to be the tzaddik, to go to learn Torah, to go to learn all of the ruts in Hashem on your own, and to know what's right and what's wrong by you learning it. Not that it should come naturally to you. It's so hard. You're right, it's so hard, but it's not supposed to come natural. That's the whole point, that you should work for it. Maybe just to end with one more thing. I have one more minute. His is that when a person gives up, you right now, you want to like, chicken, right?
What happens?
But you a person's koivish is yetzer. He contains himself. No, I'm gonna. Right then is an ace rotzon. You've heard this before. It's an ace rotzon. It's a time for tefillah. And the etzem Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz is a beautiful nicer. Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz is medayiket in Esther in the Gemara in Megillah. I don't remember where it is right now. The Gemara says that Esther invited Haman to the Sudas Achashverosh that she made. She made a Suda with Achashverosh and she invited Haman. Why did she invite Haman? There's two Pshatim and Rashi over there. What the Gemara says, because maybe she's going to be Ma'ir Rachamim by Hashem in that she invited Haman. Rashi explains in his second Pshat that Hashem will see that I was mevaza myself to be mechanef this Russia, to flatter, to be mechanef this Russia. It was embarrassing to me to have to do that. She went against her nature. When a person goes against their nature, it's an ace rotzon that saved the entire Klal Yisrael in time of Purim. Reb Chaim Shlomit says that it was bombs dropping by one of the wars here. The bombs dropping, he said the bombs were already hitting the Yeshiva's mirror. Right up the block, they were already hitting the Shiva Smir. The building was shaking. They were in the miklat in the downstairs in the bomb shelter. If a bomb hits a direct hit, it's no hope. The whole thing. They're davening Hashem Hu Elokim. They're saying Yud Gimel Midah. They're doing everything. Stands up an aguna, a woman who her husband ran away from her years before, and says Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm Michael him. All the bushes, all the embarrassment that he's caused me for these years, all the pain and suffering that I've gone through, I'll Michael him. Be Michael us. And the bomb stopped. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz later gave a shmuz. He said all of our tefillahs, they were very chashiv. What saved Yeshivas Mir was that aguna. Because Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says when a person goes against his midah, goes against his ratzon, there's nothing greater than that. There's nothing more powerful than that. So when a person is faced with any nesayin, whether it's getting out of bed, whether it's being shemi or einayim, whether it's sitting and learning another minute, chop that minute, chop that time. Say, Hashem, help me with. You have time not to ask for whatever you want. As long as it's the good things you're asking for. It's an eis ratzon. Use it. This is the yisoid that I want to speak about. Thank you, Offer. Listen.